Y'all, it's Ohio Crime Mom here. I apologize first off for the huge delay in episodes. If you are a part of the Ohio Crime Mom Facebook page, you would have known that I had some audio issues. And then once I got those resolved, my daughter started having some stomach issues for about a week and a half. Finally got that under control, and so I'm now able to record, and hopefully she will stay under control with her stomach issues. But you will be receiving two episodes this week. You will receive today's episode, which is on Kurt Cobain, and you also received an episode on Sunday, which is about Selena Not Afraid. I'm very excited to be able to do my first missing and murdered Indigenous woman case, and I have a very, very special small business spotlight for that episode. With that being said, I am looking for some new small business spotlights. If you know anyone who owns or operates a small business locally, please send them my way so that way I can get them the information and see if they are interested in doing a small business spotlight. You can have them send me a message to my direct personal Facebook, or you can have them comment on the Ohio Crime Mom page. Also, today's episode will be a little different than usual. Usually, I have a script that I go off of. And today I'm actually going to try something different and just go off my notes and kind of freestyle it and see how that goes as well. So if you enjoy the format of today's episode, please let me know, whether it be through the Instagram or the Ohio Crime Mom page. And that way I can kind of get a better feeling of what you guys like. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and jump into this week's episode. Kurt Donald Cobain was born on February 20th, 1967, in Aberdeen, Washington, to parents Wendy Elizabeth and Donald Leland Cobain. Kurt's family had a very musical background, including aunts and uncles who played instruments and sang, and Kurt developed an interest in music at a very young age, and according to his aunt, began singing around 4 or around 2. By age 4, he was playing piano and writing songs about going to a local park. Cobain's grandmother, Iris Cobain, is who encouraged him the most to pursue his musical career. When Kurt was 9, his life would drastically change when his parents decided to become divorced. Cobain's mother, Wendy, said that he drastically changed and became defiant and withdrawn. Cobain's father remarried and had more children, and Cobain resented his stepmother for this, as well as his mother dated a man who abused her, and Cobain even saw his mother be beaten so bad that her arm was left broken. On June 28th of 1979, Cobain's mother granted his father full custody of Kurt in hopes to give him some sort of stability. When Cobain entered his teenage years, his rebellion became too much for his father to handle, and he placed him in the care of friends and family. But during his second year of high school, Kurt began living with his mother again. 2 weeks prior to his high school graduation, Cobain dropped out of school due to not having enough credits to graduate, and his mother basically told him that he either needed to find a job or he had to move out. 2 weeks later, she kicked him out, and Kurt lived between friends' homes and under a bridge. In 1987, however, Nirvana was formed. In 1990, Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain met for the first time. In 1991, Nirvana blew up with the Nevermind album. And if you are a fan of grunge music at all, you know every word to the Nevermind album. Me and my husband actually had a very funny discussion the other night about the song Smells Like Teen Spirit. He actually did not know the lyrics to that song, and I think a lot of people don't. They just kind of make them up as they go. So he was shocked when I knew every word to the song and actually what he was saying. So yeah, that was a little fun tidbit there. On February 24th of 1992 in Hawaii, Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love were married. At the time of the wedding, Love was already pregnant with their daughter, Frances Bean Cobain, who was born on August 18th, 1992. And before we go any further, let's hear a word from this week's sponsors. Rella's Wonder Crafts is a small family-owned crafting business located here in Southern Ohio. They make a variety of crafts from custom shirts and tumblers to decals and wreaths, plus so much more. Since 2017, they have been creating magic and happiness by bringing their customers and visions to life. Come take a peek into their world. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Etsy, and TikTok. And just in time for Christmas, you can get so many great things. In 1994, during Nirvana's tour, they stopped in Munich, where Cobain was diagnosed with bronchitis and severe laryngitis. He was sent to Rome to receive medical treatment. Courtney Love met him in Rome, and according to her, she woke in Rome to find Kurt overdosed on champagne and rufiol. I can't say it. I'm sorry. She would later say that she believed that this was a suicide attempt. Cobain was hospitalized for 5 days after this. Shortly after this, back home in Washington, Cobain and Love had a domestic issue that led to Love calling the police. While the authorities were there, they confiscated pills and 3 guns from Cobain, who had locked himself in a room upstairs. Love told the police that she thought Cobain had locked himself upstairs so that he could commit suicide. But Cobain said he had done this to simply hide from Love. My papers are sticking. I apologize. There they go. After this incident, Love and Cobain's closest friends staged an interview to convince him that he needed help for his drug abuse and for his depression. Kurt reluctantly agreed and was sent to LA to a rehab facility. Shortly after arriving to the rehab, Cobain broke out by climbing a 6-foot wall when he went out to smoke and got a flight back to Washington. His family and friends were unaware of his whereabouts during this time. When Cobain arrived in Washington, he contacted a friend and fellow musician, Dylan Carlson, to purchase a gun for him. Dylan and Cobain went to Stan Baker's gun shop in Seattle and purchased a Remington Model 11 20-gauge shotgun. At this point, Love had called and hired a private investigator, Tom Grant, to try and locate Cobain. Grant went to the house with Carlson to look for Cobain, but never found Cobain. He was also never told about the room above the garage. On April 8th, 1994, an electrician arrived at Cobain's home to install an alarm system. It was he who discovered Kurt's body. The coroner later stated that Cobain had actually died on April 5th, which means that his body had laid there for days, undiscovered. The electrician said, apart from a small amount of blood coming from Cobain's ear, he saw no trauma and actually believed that Cobain was sleeping until he saw a gun pointing at his chin. Found next to Cobain was used syringes and a suicide note. The suicide note read, "Speaking from the tongue of an experienced simpleton, who obviously would rather be emasculated, infantile complaining. This note should be pretty easy to understand. All the warnings from the punk rock 101 courses over the years since my first introduction to the, shall we say, ethics involved with the independence and embracement of your community has proven to be very true. I haven't felt the excitement of listening to, as well as creating music along with, reading and writing for too many years now. I feel guilty beyond words about these things. For example, when we're backstage and the lights go out and the manic roar of the crowd begins, it doesn't affect me the way in which it did for Freddie Mercury, who seemed to love and relish in the love and adoration from the crowd, which is something I totally admire and envy. The fact is, I can't fool you, any one of you. It simply isn't fair to you or me. The worst crime I can think of would be to rip people off by faking it and pretending as if I'm having 100% fun. Sometimes I feel as I should have to punch in a time clock before I walk on stage. I have tried everything within my power to appreciate it, and I do, God, believe me, I do, but it's not enough. I appreciate the fact that I and we have affected and entertained a lot of people. It must be one of those narcissists who only appreciates things when they're gone. I'm too sensitive. I need to be slightly numb in order to regain the enthusiasm I once had as a child. On our last three tours, I have had a much better appreciation for all the people I've known personally and as fans of our music, but I still can't get over the frustration, the guilt, and the empathy I have for everyone. There's good in all of us, and I think I simply love people too much so that it makes me feel too, excuse the language, fucking sad. The sad, little, sensitive, unappreciative Pisces Jesus man. Why don't you just enjoy it? I don't know. I have a goddess of a wife who sweats ambition and empathy, and a daughter who reminds me too much of what I used to be. Full of love and joy, kissing every person she meets because everyone is good and will do her no harm. And that terrifies me to the point to where I can barely function. I can't stand the thought of Frances becoming the miserable, self-destructive death rocker that I've become. I have it good, very good, and I'm grateful, but since the age of 7, I have become hateful towards all humans in general, only because it seems so easy for people to get along that have empathy. Only because I love and feel sorry for people too much, I guess. Thank you all from the pit of my burning, nauseous stomach for your letters and concern during the past years. I am too much of an erratic, moody baby. I don't have the passion anymore, and so remember that it's better to burn out than to fade away. Peace, love, and empathy, Kurt Cobain. Frances and Courtney, I'll be at your altar. Please keep going, Courtney, for Frances, for her life, which will be so much happier without me. I love you. I love you. There are many people, including myself, that believe that Kurt's death was not a suicide. Tom Grant, the private investigator hired by Love, believes that Cobain was murdered. He has done many interviews and has even released a documentary called Soaked in Bleach that I highly recommend that you watch. Cobain's body was found with 3 times the lethal amount of heroin, which Grant argues would have been impossible for Kurt to pull the trigger. He believes that the heroin was used to incapacitate Cobain before the final shotgun blow was administered. The Mentors band leader, Eldon El Duce Hoke, also claimed that Love offered him $50,000 to kill Cobain, and he also claimed to know who actually did the act. A few short days after saying this in an interview for another documentary, which is called Kurt and Courtney, Hoke was struck by a train in the middle of the night and killed. So, this is basically all I have. There are multiple and countless theories of who did it. And I know that I am a smaller podcast and not quite as largely known, but I know some people have gotten very threatening messages by saying who they believe actually committed it. So I will not tell you who I believe. I'm sure most of you feel the same way as I do. But I will say that I do not believe that Kurt committed suicide. I do believe that something I actually hadn't wrote in my notes and just thought about. People speculate that the last part of the letter that says, Frances and Courtney, I'll be at your altar. Please keep going, Courtney, for Frances. For her life will be so much happier without me. I love you. I love you. It appeared to be somebody copying Kurt's handwriting. And in all reality, if you listen to the suicide note, it doesn't sound suicidal. I agree with what Tom Grant has said in passing, that it sounds like it was a letter to the fans basically saying that he was done creating music, which would have been sad in its own right, but, not as sad as him dying. I do agree with Tom Grant on the fact of, I don't understand how he could have pulled the trigger having 3 times the lethal amount of heroin. That just seems impossible to me, but stranger things have happened. So I will leave it at, I do not believe that Kurt killed himself. I do believe that he was killed by somebody else. But I won't say who. So if you guys are interested and you enjoyed this case, please let me know. If you liked the format of this week's case a little bit better, I enjoyed kind of just being able to read my notes and tell you opinions during it instead of going off of a strict script. It also will mean that it will be quicker for me to put out episodes because I won't have to sit down for a day. Sorry, excuse me. A day or two writing out a script. I can just take my notes and read from them. So that may mean that I could possibly start doing two episodes a week no matter what. Unless it's like a larger episode, like our Jim Jones cases and things like that. But yeah, and also case suggestions. If you guys have case suggestions, you can send them to my personal Facebook, the Ohio Crime Mom page, the Ohio Crime Mom Instagram, or we do have an email, which is ohiocrimemom@gmail.com. And let me know all of your case suggestions. I am going to be covering some very small cases very soon. And I enjoy being able to cover the cases that don't have as much information because maybe somebody knows something. As well as the day that I am recording this is Thursday, April 22nd of 2021. And if you are from Southern Ohio like I am, you know that today marked 5 years since the Roden family massacre. I have had a lot of people ask me to cover the Roden family case, and I do plan on it, but I would like to wait until everything is said and done. I know some of the cases I have covered have been ongoing cases, and I have no problem doing that, but this being a case that's so close to home and knowing some of the members of the family, I would rather wait and be respectful and do it once the case is done and over with and there is convictions. But that being said, today, Jake Wagner pleaded guilty. He changed his plea from not guilty to guilty on a plea deal, taking the death penalty off the table and agreeing to testify against his brother, his father, and his mother. So I just wanted to bring that up at the end of this episode because I feel like there might finally be some justice served for this family that has deserved it from every family deserves it. But just knowing that family personally brings the case to life. So I just wanted to mention that it had been 5 years since the Roden family massacre and that there had been a break in the case. I was going to do a live and cover it. But I decided to end it, to end the episode with that. So until next time, this has been Ohio Crime Mom.